Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIVR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is July 31st, 2019. And the scripture reading for today is, for this week, is Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 through 30, chapter 36, verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 28, and chapter 3, verse 4. The New Testament portion is John chapter 2, verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 36. Also, James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Be sure to follow the WIVR Warn Radio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and others. You can find Warn Radio on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag Warn Radio. You can listen to all the shows on warn-usa.com and also danaglensmith.com. We're also on Blog Talk, Tumblr, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes. So you can find us on many avenues. Be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. This week we feature National Sins, Sighing and Crying. National sins are evident. Does anyone really care? Is anyone in the church, in Hollywood, in Washington concerned about the prevalent rebellion going on in America? Here we discuss the mark of Christ. We look at the sighing and crying for the sins of the nation. Yes, grieving and seeking God over the national sins of the nation called America. And Christ Jesus of the faith you follow. Christ Jesus is not the religion, the denomination, the current trend, or any other man-made thing or theology. The brass tack of the situation, the hard-nosed fact of who we are, it's not the faith, but the Christ of the faith whom we are to follow. We don't follow faith, we are to have faith. You can read more on these posts at warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com. Please be sure to read them and pass them on to your friends. And now, before I invite the watchman in, here's a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIVR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be here again on a Wednesday.
On the last day
of the month. Can you believe that? It's going to be August 1st tomorrow. It's hard to believe.
We just started July, you know.
It seems like it.
It just seems like this year, time has just been going by.
Zoom.
Yeah. Just hard to believe.
Sure is.
Well, in our upfront category, you know, I found it not amazing, but the state-vetted churches. China has the three-house movement. They have this endorsement from the Communist Party on various churches. And, of course, the Communist Party tells the pastor what to preach. And the Catholic, the Communist doctrine is number one. The Communist state is number one. And all teachings are subservient to that. But it's, well, see, if you agree with them, they'll leave you alone then, see? And it's amazing. And, of course, you know very well that China has seen all of the stuff in the news about China's persecution of Christians, especially since America and the Trump administration and others. There's a lot of independents that are bringing it up. We've talked about it. You know very well that China hears that. So if you're a state-vetted church and you owe allegiance, the first thing you're going to do is come out against the other house churches. Well,
that's right.
As of this month, the very end of this month, International Christian Concerned reported, and of course, Bob Fu of China Aid, there's a lot of them that would have this information. But the state vetted Chinese Catholic bodies, along with other officially sanctioned religious organizations, these are the ones that owe allegiance to the Communist Party above the Bible. And there's always been dissension between the house church movement and the official state-run churches. It's been that way forever. And it's always been the house churches that had extreme persecution against them. And the bottom line of it is that they believe that as Christians, and this is true, you owe allegiance to God first. And if you're a pastor, you preach what he puts on your heart. Well, at any rate. So they refuted the claim made by the U.S., among other people, about that the communist authorities were suppressing religious freedom. Of course, they're going to deny it. The best way to do it is have one of your obedient churches come out and say that, no, they're not persecuting anybody. Not only that, the Chinese Catholic Patriotic Association and the Bishops' Conference of the Catholic Church in China all came forward to condemn the Department of State, the U.S. Department of State, recent ministerial advance religious freedom as maliciously hyped China's ethnic and religious policies. They went on to say the Chinese government conscientiously implements the policy of freedom of religious belief, and Chinese citizens enjoy freedom of religious belief in accordance with the law. And that's right. They are right. It's in accordance with the law. You have to belong to the state-vetted churches or you can't practice it. That statement is absolutely true. Now, if you take it as one of the laws in America or the West, you're going to take it wrong. because, and it's the same way in a lot of Muslim countries that have Sharia law and others, because freedom, excuse me, freedom of religious belief does not include carrying your Bible, praying openly, assembling in the church, telling other people about Christ, you know, and have people leave other faiths and come to your faith. That's not what it entails. And if you go into Saudi Arabia, if you're a Christian, you can't have your Bible on the street. So, I mean, you know, this is what's happened in a lot of, you know, the nations. And in America, we've had people try it. We've had certain states try to regulate what preachers were supposed to preach. This is where this yep. goes. And it added that the Catholics in China have achieved great progress in pastoral work and evangelization. Well, the problem you have is that the only evangelization is that you need to come to the state-vetted Chinese churches. That's the evangelization. If you're not going to do that, you cannot be in other churches and you cannot gather. You cannot do much of anything. You wind up in jail like Yang Wei. Or is it Wei Yang? I can't remember now.
Wang Yi,
yeah. Meanwhile, the China Christian Council and the China Islamic Association and the China Buddhist Association and the China Taoist Association all said the same thing. Why? Because they were all officially sanctioned by the Chinese, and they have to align with the various agreements within this Chinese Catholic churches and all these others in accordance with the communism and what the communists say. So, you know, this is just details, for you to understand what the position is. And in the world, we have others beside China. Iran is one. India is that way. And although India claims to be a democracy, it is not a democracy because they do not hold the Hindus accountable. The BJP party is in charge, and Christians are persecuted. Now, Bear Grylls recently did an outside survival thing with Prime Minister Modi of India. Calling him, the prime minister, a great man of one of the largest democracies. Well, it's not a democracy. It claims to be a democracy. But we regularly report on the persecution of Christians at the hands of Hindus. Pakistan is the same way. They have certain rules, certain things. Egypt is another one. Now, in Egypt, we recently reported that they approved a bunch of churches for Christians, but it has been very, very impossible to get churches in Egypt okayed so the Christians could meet. Not to mention the fact that Christians many times are persecuted, beat up, and afflicted, and the cops do nothing about it. And it's getting to the point now in some of these countries, from Pakistan to India to Egypt, that when Christians get persecuted, it doesn't do any good to go to the cops because nothing is ever done, very rarely. So this is
tragic.
Yeah, this is the way this thing is going around the world. And if you're not careful, you look at America and you have some of these nutcases in our political parties. We've had some of those who are running for the Democratic nomination. We've had others of those in Congress who said they were going to regulate the churches more. Well, see, in this country, you don't regulate it. This is why the original Christians who came here, came here because of persecution, and they wanted a country without that. So this is really what America is facing right now. If you get the wrong people in, and we have a lot of them up there that are wrongheaded for this country, because and the thing of it is, they've got people to back them. So you are right at a precipice within America itself, even, where you could lose the majority and this country could go down a total different road, one that you're not prepared to live in America, but there's nowhere else to go. So you're going to find yourself facing the same restrictions as many other Christians and other nations, and it's just going to go to hell from there. Now,
yeah, well, some of these people running for the president on the Democratic Party are really scary.
Well, they are, you know, but another one we wanted to do here. The ACLJ was talking about this, Israel being under fire. You talked, you said that Israel had used a couple of those new planes that America sent them, and they attacked a couple of targets.
Yeah.
So Israel... terrorist rockets continue to rain down on Israel and putting innocent lives in danger. Now, this is by the ACLJ. Well, the thing of it is, AOC the other day and continually sides with the Palestinians. The liberal portion of the House tried to get BDS accepted, which is a damnable thing in itself. Many of these left-wingers of the Democratic Party are so left-wing, they would have Israel disappear.
That's right.
Terrorist rockets continue to go down, and Israel, you know, I mean, how would you like that? Well, this is where it is. And according to the ACLJ, the Israelis live under constant threat of war from jihadist groups Hamas and Hezbollah. And the UN, calling it anti-Semitic, create a $65 million slush fund for the Palestinian Authority to wage unjust lawfare against Israel. So Palestinian has an unlimited budget to go against Israel. And they want to initiate the International Criminal Court, bringing up false war crime charges against Israel and attempting to legally constrict Israel's ability to develop and protect itself. Calling it an absurd twisting of justice, they said, "We have a moral obligation to defend Israel. We've taken action in numerous cases to defend Israel's interests at the International Criminal Court." So, this is the thing, just one of the many things that the ACLJ does. And, you know, standing up for Christians, standing up for Israel, standing up for American rights, fighting even Pelosi's and a lot of them who are trying to stop the border by going to court, you know, so
fighting
there's just,
the abortion agenda. They fight
yeah.
for the unborn as well.
Yeah. So they're in the thick of it. So, at any rate, you know, there's just a lot of issues here today that we need to be, aware of. Now,
yes.
Tower, are you ready with yours?
Which one?
The first one.
Okay. This comes to us from the Bibles for the Mideast, and it's the Assembly of the Living God Church in the Middle East. This is about Pastor M. He's married and he has two young boys, and he works tirelessly and fearlessly building a strong underground church. And it's very hard. The unimaginable constraints he undergoes, I can't even imagine how tough that would be in that highly restrictive Middle East nation. He's a former Muslim, and now he's working for Bibles for the Mideast. And he has an amazing story of his own that they're not going to talk about. How he was healed and salvation. This happened, according to this story, 2 weeks ago. He completely disappeared. The religious police came after him because they found a tract with his phone number on it, and they tricked him into meeting with them, which he agreed to. They met up. They brutally beat him and hauled him off to the religious court. And the judge said, "Why did you leave Islam and become a Christian minister?" And he told the judge, "I was a sinner and got into all kinds of trouble. I also contracted a serious disease and became a dying patient. But the Lord Jesus Christ saved my life. He healed me and also rescued me from sin and death by his crucifixion and death on the cross of Calvary. He rose from the dead and still lives. I believe in him and receive salvation. Then the Lord Jesus himself called me into the ministry, so I am trying to help my fellow brethren find salvation as well." The court ordered him in prison for 15 days, and he was told that if he returned to Islam, he would remain in jail for 2 more years and then be in service to the religious authorities in their fight against Christianity. Should he decide not to renounce Christianity, he would be beheaded. It was as simple as that. And the young husband and pastor refused their demand, so he was sent to prison to wait execution, and the horrible torture began. And the judge had 2 sons of his own plus 5 daughters. Unfortunately and sadly, he lost his older son at 21 last year to testicular cancer, and his second son was facing the same diagnosis. And the doctors gave up hope on him. They would not treat him anymore. So he lay in bed at home in excruciating pain, waiting to die. And a week after the sentence, the judge woke in the middle of the night to a mighty voice sounding in the bedroom. "Release the pastor from jail," it boomed. "Ask him to pray for your son to be healed." Of course, he didn't like what he heard, and so he ignored the plea. And the next day, his son's suffering increased to almost beyond what the boy could bear. That night, the judge dreamt a ball of light somehow encased powerful words headed toward him. The words seemed to flow from the light as it approached. "Release my servant from the prison and ask him to pray for your son." He heard it echo through the room. "With his prayers, your boy may be cured and healed." And he thought, surely that had to be the work of Satan to misguide his faith in Islam. He got up, read portions from the Quran, and did a ritual prayer that's done in special circumstances. And the third night, the Lord himself appeared to the judge, and he said, "I am Jesus, the Son of the Most High. I did die on the cross and now live forevermore." And, of course, the Muslims don't believe Jesus was raised. They do believe Jesus was raised bodily to heaven by God, but do not believe he died on the cross. And the Lord continued, "You are needlessly persecuting my servant. Release him from prison. Your son will be healed and accept me as your Lord and Savior. This is the only way you and your household can be saved from hell." Jesus then disappeared. The judge rose from his bed to the sounds of his son screaming out in pain. Rushing to the room, he saw his wife and daughter standing by the bed weeping. Overcome, he disclosed the details of the dream. They listened in amazement. Without hesitation, his wife and daughters begged him to release the minister and get him over to the house to pray for the boy. The son urged him to as well. When prison officials got the unexpected order from the judge, they immediately freed the pastor and had him sent to the family's home. The judge told the pastor all that he had heard was seen, and he asked forgiveness for the prison sentence and execution order. And, of course, Pastor M agreed and was led to the young man's room, and he began sharing the faith of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And he asked him if they would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the sick man said, agreed straight away. And the others followed, kneeling and inviting Jesus into their hearts and lives. And then the atmosphere now thickened with holiness, and Pastor M began to pray. And as he did, all were filled with the Holy Spirit. The boy jumped from his bed and began to dance, praising and thanking Jesus for his total healing. Everyone rejoiced in the Lord, and the family bursting with joy they'd never known. Until the next day, the minister went back to court, and he released the pastor according to court law, and the pastor stayed in the magistrate's home, praying and fasting with the family and teaching them Bible and preparing them for baptism, and on the fourth day, they were baptized. And the family of the pastor was so distraught. The church and the pastor's family, and his wife became very ill because she was overwhelmed with the strain of continuous praying and fasting and understandable concern. And so they had to rush her to the doctor and found out she was carrying the couple's third child. I guess at this time she's remained in the hospital recovering, but now her husband's at her side. So please pray for them, the church, the believers, and the Bibles for the Mideast ministry in the Middle East. So that's exciting news out of the Middle East.
Yes, it is. That's one of those amazing miracles.
Yes, it is.
Right.
And we'd like to see more of those.
Right on the front lines, you know. Right,
yeah.
Where the enemy is. You know, you're dealing with life and death. Yeah. That's amazing.
I think we'll see those happen in America more and more as the persecution becomes stronger.
I think we'll see more and more as we end up in the end of days even more than we are.
Yep. That's what I'm talking, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're talking about China again, and this has to do with a lot of things going on. Their industrial sector lost about 5 million jobs last year. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, 1.9 million was lost as a result of the trade war with the U.S. That's according to China International Capital Corporation, the economists Liang Hong and Yi Wan. They suggest that the job market is not as stable as the government claims. Total job losses represent 3.4% of total employment in the industrial sector, which includes mining, manufacturing, public utilities. It's amazing. And
it is.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of things. You know, China has a lot of people there. So, you know, the bottom line of it is Walmart and all the American companies are the ones that made China so rich. They got rich, their economy and everything else because of this China source and getting everything out of China. And I don't know,
right.
for decades, for a long time, we've been telling people not to buy Chinese goods. Buy American goods. But see, now, you know, and this is the thing of it is, Trump pushes American jobs, American manufacturing. You get someone from the Democratic Party, and you're going to lose every bit of that. You're going to lose also your coal mine jobs. You're going to lose also the fact of all the oil. And there's a lot of things that could go right down the tube and make it absolutely a mess here. But see, these people are so hyped on the fact that, you know, all these fossil fuels are the problem. They don't think for a minute that some of the biggest polluters are like China and some of these others, including over in some other areas. But, you know, Isaiah talks about what happens when he says the curse has devoured the earth. That curse from the beginning is going to devour the earth, and we're going to see things happen. But needless to say, you know, you got to make sure, you know, who you're voting for. Make sure you realize the consequences. If you listen to Hollywood, most of them over there and the voices that I've heard are absolute morons when it comes to knowing any truth at all. And
boy, that's
some of
the
truth. You know, and not to mention the fact they're nasty, they're dumb in their assumptions, they're quick to criticize, they absolutely hate Trump many times, and many of them use their acting skills to emphasize, you know, to get the public to really believe what they're saying, because they know how to do that. All in all, I think it's a mess we got in America, and it's too bad that we're like it. The point of it is that, you know, this country can't stand if we don't have proper direction. And going the left-wing nutcases that we see in the Democratic Party right now is about as stupid can get. But, see, in the long run, I don't worry about it because I believe God has everything under control, and he could very well be at the point of turning this country even further over to its own devices, which means the road is going to be long and the road is going to be very, very tough, and things will change really quickly if that happens.
Yep, that's right.
So at any rate, we do have a Mueller recap, but I ain't going to mess with that. That's out of the ACLJ because they talked about it. The bottom line of it is for the ACLJ who monitors this, they know what they're talking about. They said the Mueller hearing was the left's best attempt to try to bring life into the Mueller report, and they failed because it's just not there. That's the bottom line. Now, the report in the news on Twitter is that they're up to 50% approval in the House of those who are willing to vote for an impeachment. There's not going to be an impeachment because it won't even go anywhere in the Senate. But these people are so dead set, you know, on this kind of stuff. Instead of working to secure the border, instead of, you know, just working to help America, the only thing they're concerned about is hating Trump. And, you
That's
know,
really
when you
tragic.
Look. Yeah. And so we do have something else from Tower. Are you ready on this one?
I got an issue back here. Can you do something else, another story, and then I'll come back to it?
Okay, do your other story.
No, can you do another story? I said I have an issue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can definitely do.
Thank you.
Now, in an update to the Early Rain Covenant Church pastor, Pastor Wang, a few days ago, the Chinese added a new charge. And, of course, he was detained December 9th, along with 100 of his congregation. And because it's unregistered, he was charged with inciting subversion of the state, which is something that they like to do. His wife was accused of the same, was accused of inciting subversion of state power. And she was released after on bail after 6 months. She's under surveillance. And that means she's being held away from home in a location that's not an official prison. In other words, she's not in prison, but she might as well be, I guess you could say, because she's not free. And, of course, in the eyes of the Chinese, this is freedom of religion. You can only have freedom of religion. It's just like putting a mouse on a wheel in a cage. What do you mean you don't get out? Well, you got plenty of room to roam. We give you food and water, and you can get your exercise going around that little wheel. Well, when it comes to the Chinese, when it comes to a lot of these other countries that we report on, the limits of what you can do under the guise of Christian religion is ridiculous. They even get to the point in Iran where they don't even want you to pray. I mean, excuse me here, but who the hell do the Iranians think they are? And that's exactly what it's going to be, hell. It's going to be hell for those in Iran. Now, see, there's nobody on the face of this earth that can stop you as a believer from praying. And the other fallacy is that if they take away your Bible, you won't have the Word of God. That is utterly stupid. And, of course, people say, well, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit of the living God, and the Spirit of the living God can speak to you. You seek Him. He can give you the Word of God. Sometimes I think we have fallen away so much from the original apostolic mandate from Jesus Christ Himself. It just absolutely floors me. The Bible didn't show up for a long time. They were passing letters around from the apostles a long time before they had an official Bible. And the only reason they had a letter was the apostles wanted to make sure they got some of these to all the people and cause them to be read. Give me a break. So at any rate, that's China.
Yeah, that's horrible. Just so
it is
crazy how they treat people and how they believe. They're afraid of Christianity.
Well, a lot of them are. That's the problem. They're afraid of the whole thing. And so is your whatever your issue was, is that taken care of?
I think so. Okay, I'm doing this story. It's a horrible story. And I did not watch the video. I don't know why it's on YouTube. You know, while YouTube removes videos with a keyword of Christian from its active video list, we can find a video on abortion. It's a how-to class on abortion. And they're the abortion method using a papaya and manual vacuum aspiration, an MVA. And this woman teaching the class wants to remove the stigma of how that it's not such a bad thing to do. And so this woman's been holding, it's in a New York abortion clinic, has been holding workshops which aim to teach members of the public how to perform a termination. They use the papaya fruit to mimic the uterus. The abortionist Joey Till guided her class through a step-by-step aspiration abortion. They documented the process in horrifying detail. Vice did, documented it. Through this is the only being done to a papaya, though this is only being done to a papaya fruit, it gives you an insight into the absolutely brutal, cold, and heartless method used to end the life of a baby. And she brought us to a long table across the room where several Hawaiian papayas were lined up on surgical pads. After telling us about the tools that were laid out, plus the ones she didn't have with her, the speculum and tenaculum, Till demonstrated a first trimester abortion on the papaya. She talked to the patient throughout, checking in on how they were doing as she inserted a finger into the cervix, then pantomimed inserting the speculum. She pretended to apply the local anesthetic and then began inserting the metal tapered rods on the table one by one to dilate the opening. When the papaya was fully dilated, she placed a plastic tube called a cannula inside and attached it to a vacuum. A manual vacuum aspirator. It's a plastic syringe-like device sucking out the inner contents of the papaya. What, for our purposes, was the pregnancy. From start to finish, the procedure had taken no more than 3 minutes. But despite the sordid method being displayed, as the students finished up, the instructor went on to declare that it is even more satisfying when it's a real abortion. And she was saying, papayas make for a pretty fruitful training simulation for learning to provide first trimester abortion care. And the reason she wanted to do that is to combat fear, misinformation, and stigma surrounding abortions. Ironically, it is unlikely that the unfettered extermination of young lives will gain more supporters after this true grisly nature of the procedure has been rightfully exposed through exercises like this one. And they're doing more of them. They say spread the word because we'll have more workshops tomorrow for students. I think this is a horrible thing.
Well, you know, you remember they used to do saline abortions, which actually, it actually is like acid when you put that much salt in it. It literally just tears the fetus apart. It disintegrates. If you've ever used salt, it's terribly painful for these fetuses. With this papaya, you can see the stuff that was sucked out of this papaya. Imagine a baby in its third trimester just getting born. They would have a hard time sucking it out. So they kill those outside of the womb now in some states. It used to be where you had to kill them inside the womb because outside the womb it was called murder. Now that was really the law. It needed to be inside the womb to kill the baby. Now see, New York switched that around. New York is going to face one hell of a time over there, New York. Judgment is on your head, blood guiltiness. And your governor over there and your legislators are all held accountable because you've got innocent blood on your hands and you will pay for it. Believe me, God will hold you accountable.
Amen. And she said that this class is not necessarily for people who are thinking about performing an at-home abortion, but that's exactly what's going to happen. It'll go underground and... they'll be doing it at home. They'll be killing women and babies. And this is just a horrible thing.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that we do abortions today because women have sex and men have sex, and the women get pregnant. So one way to solve the problem is to kill the baby. And so,
yeah, I remember reading about one woman in the UK. She had had six abortions, and that was her birth control. How horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't care. Just have it. And if I have a baby, I'll kill it. Now, see, that's blood guilt,
yeah,
too. That's murder.
Yeah.
And we're studying blood guilt on Fridays. You want to know about blood guilt? You need to listen to what I'm teaching. If you don't care, well, then that's fine. But you need to know this. And as far as these abortions, we have so much blood on the head of this nation. It's actually in the land. I talk about all of this stuff. And you can say, well, we're in the New Testament era, and that thing don't happen. I got news for you. You can choke on that statement, especially when you see judgment happening the way it's going to happen. You're going to be choking on that statement, and you're going to wish to God you'd paid more attention.
Yeah. She said she wanted to encourage people to ditch the term surgical abortion in exchange for procedural abortion, because it makes it sound way more dramatic than it needs to be. Well, in reality, what could be more dramatic than the brutal murder of a human child followed by suctioning out of its mangled remains? That is just horrible. I wouldn't even watch the video on it because I know it would make me just horribly ill from this stuff.
Well,
I hate abortions. I hate the murder of the unborn baby. It's horrible. It's wicked. It's against God. God's the giver of life, and you have no right to take it away like that.
Well, you know, it is procedural murder. It's cold-blooded.
Yes, it is.
Its intent is there. And premeditation, yeah, you could say it's premeditation, because all of America premeditates to kill the unborn. And there are women that don't like it. But if you've had an abortion, God can forgive you. There's a repentance here that you can do. But what we need to do is stop the slaughter. Now, see, you're never going to stop women from having abortion. But we need to stop this thing that says it's okay. You know, just like you have to close your border down, just like you need to take care of the people in the inner city. I mean, Elijah Cummings comes off on Trump for what Trump said, and so did everybody else. But Elijah Cummings called Baltimore rat-infested himself. He's on record saying it. So this whole thing, everything that we have in America, you can look at it, we're divided, you are seeing the judgment. I've been preaching judgment and a lot of other things for over 21 years now, and I can tell you America is in this throes of judgment. Period.
Amen. And I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't like the wickedness and the sin.
You know, we ought to talk while we're at it about the 200 more while we're at it, because we didn't do that last week, and we can both talk about that.
Well, this story comes to us from persecution.org, and it's, did you want to go ahead, Dana?
No, go ahead. You're fine. I'll join in later.
This is about Pakistan, and this story comes to us from, like I said, persecution.org. And Shan Tasir, he is the son of the assassinated Punjab governor, Salman Tasir. And he's claimed that there's 200 more people imprisoned in Pakistan under blasphemy charge. And he made this claim while speaking at the State Department's second annual ministerial to advance religious freedom. I want you all to know that there are 200 Asia Bibis in jail accused of blasphemy law in Pakistan today. And these are only the reported cases. Among those imprisoned, Taseer included individuals who are elderly, poor, mentally ill, and physically challenged. Of them, 40 are probably on death row. The rest are basically waiting for trial, as it is difficult. It is as difficult, it is as bad, it is as bleak when you are waiting trial because you are living in a legal vacuum. He went on to explain more must be done on the behalf of these imprisoned people to secure their release. International advocacy was critical in securing the acquittal and release of Asia Bibi earlier this year. With no international pressure, many of these 200 other prisoners will likely continue to remain in the legal vacuum. And his father was the one that was helping Asia Bibi, I believe, and they murdered him.
Yeah, he's the one that came out and said that she was innocent. There was a number of them. And we were talking about Asia Bibi all the time. The ACLJ was standing up for the State Department. There was, a lot of people were standing up for Asia Bibi. Now, the UK had a chance to allow Asia Bibi in, but the UK turned it down. And so she wound up somewhere else. But, the bottom line of it is that Pakistan has always used this blasphemy law. Now, we've reported on the fact a number of years ago there was a change in the law, and they've been working to stop the Muslims that are there and those in the mosques that are there from using this kind of a law to get back at Christians. And so the bottom line of it is a real mess. And
it is.
I would, we know there's more there, but Asia Bibi was someone, had kids. She was married. She didn't do anything wrong. We knew the story from the beginning. It was unconscionable. But see, this guy is right. We need international advocacy. But the problem of it is, and even the ACLJ said this, because it is in America, there's only so much the outside influence can do. But there was pressure because Donald Trump got involved and his people, and they were threatening sanctions on Pakistan. There was a lot of issues here, and we need to. And, of course, this year we talked about the international thing that Pompeo was talking about, and that is a society of people from various nation governments that will hold certain countries accountable for their violations of religious persecution. And so, and we were talking about that last week. So at any rate, and we do tell you to remember those who are in bonds. In this case, Pakistan is one, India is another, Egypt is still bad, Egypt is still have problems, Syria and Iraq, I'm telling you, Syria, Iraq, we're getting reports out of there, it is still a mess, people are getting killed, that's where that woman was. We do have a story about it, but we don't really have the time to go through it, but Syria and Iraq both, do have jihadists there, and they've learned from ISIS, and these are wicked, nasty men. And, of course, the women that follow them are just as bad. So these things are terrible for the believers. And, of course, if you're in Iraq, you have the Yazidis, as well as other Muslim groups that do not agree. And one of them, of course, is the Kurds that did not agree with ISIS and their ideas. So the whole thing is a mess, and it is a blight on Syria and Iraq both. And of course, the biggest problem we had was the fact that we went in and got rid of Saddam Hussein. Now, you may not have liked him, but under Saddam Hussein, the Christians could keep their churches and they weren't slaughtered like they were when he died. And, you know, Assad in Syria, I mean, he's still in Syria. And, of course, Libya, you know, Omar Gaddafi got slaughtered and killed. And so it's been a mess in that whole region, and it's actually opened up for Iran to gain a lot of foothold in the area. And this is not good. So, you know, it is a mess right now. And you have one friend in the region, one true friend, that's a democracy, and that's Israel. And if you allow people like Asia Bibi and, Tlaib and these others to have their way and diss Israel and come against Israel, then you're going to lose what left of blessings on this country. And we got a lot of issues here and a lot of problems in this country. But, you know, the Lord is on the throne, and you need to seek Him as never before. Read my latest article, because that is important concerning these things.
Yes, it's really a good article. They all are, and you need to read them and pass them along to your friends.
At any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for House of Jacob, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 12. And thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate all you do. God bless you richly. Good night.
Yep, we thank you. Don't forget to go by our website, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. This is The Watchman, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.